That's a long walk. Good evening. If you would be opening your Bibles to Romans chapter 3, please. No, I'm sorry, Romans chapter 1. We're going to start in Romans chapter 1. I want to take just a minute to thank each one of you here at the chapel for your prayers and for your concerns that you've shown for Judy and I as we've been struggling with our health in these recent months. And it really means so much to know that we have the support of our church family, how much you love us and care for us. And I know it's not just us. You share it with a lot of other people. And I just want to personally say that I thank you so much. I also want to apologize for the condition that I'm currently in. I'm struggling, been struggling quite a bit for the last few days, and I'm going to do the best I can. Several weeks before I was asked to bring a message on Wednesday night, I had an idea about a message, just something that the Lord had laid on my heart. As I thought about the message and the idea that I had, and it was to preach Jesus. And there's a song that's Southern gospel music, and part of the story in the song is that there was a young preacher, and he asked an older, more experienced preacher, "What should I preach on?" And the old timer said, "Preach Jesus and Him crucified, and preach Jesus until He comes again." And I thought, boy, that's a tremendous message. Well, as I developed the thoughts and I started studying Scripture and reading a little bit about it, it started taking a little bit of a different turn. And I don't know if any of the rest of you that speak here have experienced that or not. As you get an idea and you start working on it, and then the Lord takes you in another direction, or it starts pulling you in another way. And that's what happened to me with this one. It got to be the point to where the message began to change, and it changed to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Am I a witness? It got personal with me, and I hope that it's personal with you. Are you a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? Will your daily walk with what you do and where you go and what comes out of your mouth? That's who we need to be. In Romans chapter 1, at verse 15, Paul said, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek." Verse 17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." That Paul is saying, I will stand up and I will be a witness. I am not ashamed of Christ. We know that Paul was put in harm's way more than one time because of his willingness to stand up and to preach Christ. There's a big long list of things in another portion of Scripture that explains what happened to Paul. He was stoned and he was beaten and he was left for dead. So it goes on. Now, as I thought more about this, and I began to, like I said, to study it a little bit more, I got to thinking about it, and I want to stop for just a moment and think about what we preach here at the Reesville Bible Chapel. Is it a message of what the people want to hear? I hope it is, but I hope it's not a tickle the ear kind of a message. That's not what we need to hear. Is it a message of hope? Is it about what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us? Do we preach a watered-down version of the gospel? No. We don't leave out the blood. We don't leave out the suffering on the cross. We make sure that people hear that when we speak about Christ. Do we leave out the part that says that we're all sinners? No, we don't. We preach that we've all come short of the glory of God, that we're sinners. Do we preach that He was crucified, that He died to pay for our sins so that we can live? I have to catch my breath. If you would turn to Romans chapter 3, and it's a right lengthy little part of Scripture that I want to read, I'd like to start at verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have all before been proven, both Jew and Gentile, that they are all under sin. For it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. For there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness? How much of that do we hear during the day when we go out from here, away from our church home, and we go into the world and we hear people that just have no regard for what comes out of their mouth? I hope that that's not one of us, that we speak that way. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Every day on the news, you hear of someone else whose life has been taken away from them because of someone who has no concern and no regard for another human being. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. These people don't know and understand who God is. They're not afraid of Him, and they should be, but they're not. Now we know that with things soever the law saith, it is said to them who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. And we know that is true. We have other scriptures that tell us that we are all guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there is no flesh to be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all of them that believe, for there is no difference. Verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If it ended right there, there wouldn't be any reason for me to even sit up here and to read and talk about this. There would be no hope. But verse 24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. That is the hope that we have. When we are a witness, when we stand up and testify who Jesus is. Now, if you would be turning over to John chapter 9, there's an example there of a man that became a witness. Not of his own intent, but when the time came, he was willing, and he did become a witness. John chapter 9, we're going to start at verse 1. And it's a story that we're all probably pretty familiar with. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" One of the commentators said that the Pharisees were teaching at that time that if you had a physical ailment like that, if you were crippled, if you were sick, it was because you are a sinner. Well, they're right, we're all sinners, but that wasn't why this man was born blind. Jesus answered, "Neither have this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him." And I don't pretend to understand this, but God, for some reason, this man, God knows all, and God is in control, and God sees us from the time we are formed in the womb, that this man would be born blind and he would live up to this point as a blind man. It tells a little further on that he was a beggar. Now, I had, in my life, I've had some association with people that were blind. I had a cousin, he was of the same generation as my mom and dad, but due to a firearms accident, he lost his eyesight when he was a boy. Now, he was a good man, he was a believer, but he wasn't helpless. He raised a family, he married, he had a family, had two boys that about the same age as I am. He worked, and one of the things that always fascinated me about him, where he lived in his home, he came out to the road, and we lived in a rural area, so there wasn't a lot of traffic. I mean, the road wasn't wide enough to even have a white line, so you can tell how much cars and traffic went up and down the road. But there was a store, a little country store, that was about a mile and a half from his house. And that man, by himself, with his red and white tipped cane, would get out, and he knew exactly how many steps it was from his doorway to the road, and from where he made a left turn to I saw him get to a point, and he turned, and he was standing dead center in front of the door that went into that store. With my sight, I don't know that I could have done that, but he knew exactly how many steps it took from his house to that door, and he would walk it. And he would do that a couple, three times a week, and it amazed me. Well, in Greensboro, another lifetime ago, I was in the Lions Club. And one of the things that the Lions Club did was they worked with the blind. And one year I was president of that organization, and it was my responsibility. We had a guest speaker who was coming in from out of town, and he was the president of the American Association for the Blind. And I went to the airport to pick him up. And he was there, and he was totally blind. He had the cane. He didn't have a seeing eye dog. He had his suitcase. And I, of course, I had to lead him to the car and show him where it was, but he didn't want me to help him. He did not want me to do anything for him other than treat him like he was a normal human being. And one of the biggest complaints he had about life was that people viewed his lack of sight as a handicap. He did not. He didn't view it that way. Now, I don't know if this young man felt that way about his inability to see or not. Scripture doesn't tell us. But what we do know is, based on God's word, that his blindness was there for a reason. He was going to be used by God to teach us a lesson. Verse 4, John 9. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus was fixing to become this man's light too. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Then he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, as what Jesus had instructed him to do, and he washed, and he came seeing. He made his way. He knew how to get to that pool, obviously. So he made his way down the streets, and I can just envision him with some kind of an aid that he would use to check the path in front of him, to feel the stones, because the streets were rough. The road was crooked. It wasn't a straight path. Well, when he came back after he'd washed, he came back seeing. Well, there were neighbors. And they, which had before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is this not he that sat and begged? The man made his living by begging for money at one of the gates of the temple or somewhere in the city. Some said, This is he. Others said, It is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore they said unto him, How were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Now that's his first witness. This is the first time he has witnessed to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So he spoke up and he said what happened. Well, because it was on the Sabbath, the neighbors, I don't know if I want a neighbor like this or not, but they took him to the Pharisees so that they could see. It said, they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. So now it's the second time that he gets to witness. He said unto them, He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he kept not the Sabbath. They condemned Jesus because he did something good to a human being, a fellow human being, on the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among the Pharisees. They couldn't even agree among themselves as to who was right and who was wrong. They said unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? The blind man, no longer blind, said, He is a prophet. He testified again. He was a witness. Well, when the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents in. They wanted to know, he said, the parents of him that had received his sight. They asked them, saying, Is this your son? Who say you was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and we know that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. Does our testimony, like this man is already given testimony to what Christ has done for him three times, does our testimony bear out what we preach? And there again, in John, here John has got this story for us about Christ. Now, and I know that the central theme of the entire Word of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. But in this particular story, this blind man is the example that each one of us should look to follow when it comes to being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't deny it. If we do, then God is just not honored. That is not what Christ wants us to do, is to bring honor to His name, to speak of Him in wonder and amazement. Then again the Pharisees, they called the blind man and said unto him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." They're back to that point again, trying to establish that Jesus is a sinner. Well, we know from what the Bible teaches us that that just simply is not true. He is the Son of God. He is sinless. He could not have been the sacrifice of God for what we have done if He were a sinner. The Bible teaches He had to be the perfect Lamb of God, and we know that's who He is. Well, the blind man spoke up again. He answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, and now I see." Then they said unto him again, "What did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes?" And then he was beginning to get a little bit testy with them, because they were questioning him, and he didn't particularly like it. He answered them, "I've told you already. You did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples?" He started getting in their face. He started putting the Lord Jesus Christ right up in front, and they didn't want to hear that. They reviled him and said, "Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple." And we have seen this kind of testimony of the Pharisees before in other verses of Scripture. "We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is." We don't. They didn't have a clue who Jesus was. Those men were learned men of the Scripture and supposed to be teaching the people of the city of Jerusalem in the synagogue, and they didn't have a clue. They missed it. "The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing, that you know from not whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes." Another testimony. "Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth." Our scripture teaches us that when we pray, when we yield our hearts, we bend our knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, God hears us. He hears our prayers. He hears our pleas. He knows who we are. "Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind?" Now, one of the things that one of the commentators said about it, this man, up to this point, this man has not seen the Lord Jesus Christ's face. He has only heard His voice. He's got no idea what He looks like. And that's going to come out a little bit further as we read on down. "If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born into sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. They put him out of the synagogue. They put him out of the meeting where he was, which was a thing that his parents was afraid of. If they had mentioned the word Jesus Christ, they would have been put out. Now this man has been put out because he stood up to the Pharisees and he testified of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as is in most cases, our Lord Jesus Christ was well aware of what was going on. He knows everything that happens to each one of us. And he knew that this man had been put out of the synagogue. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, Jesus went searching for him. He searches for us too. He said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Now, this man knew what to do when he came in the presence of Jesus the Christ. He fell down and he worshiped. Now, Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that they which see not, that they which see not might see, and they that which see might be made blind." Now there were Pharisees that had gathered around. They were watching what was going on. And some of the Pharisees that had come along with the group heard these words. And he said unto Jesus, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see.' Therefore your sin remaineth." Jesus condemned those Pharisees right on the spot because they were blind to the Lord Jesus Christ. They couldn't see him. Well, did the man, because the Pharisees didn't see, did the man's testimony fail? No. Just because the Pharisees refused to believe, he didn't fail. His testimony was true. The no longer blind man, he did not fail to be a true witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should do the same. As this man was true to the Word of God, he shared his personal testimony simply, straightforward, and bold when he told those Pharisees that he wasn't going to explain anything else to them. That was a bold move on his part. And it could have put him in some serious harm. How often do we simply tell others that we were once blind to the truth of Christ, and now we see? The message of Jesus is simple and to the point. Jesus told this man in verse 35 and 37, he said that when Jesus heard that he had been put out, he said, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" And this man knew. Jesus told him, he said, "It is he that talketh with thee." And the man said, "I believe." Jesus proved to this man that he was the Son of God. Believing the story of the blind man here in Scripture is here to show us that we should be bold and demonstrate our belief in Christ. We have the complete Bible to reinforce what we believe. We have over 2,000 years of history about Jesus and what he has done over time, how that he has affected countries, he's affected people, individuals. There are many, many stories about him and what he's done. No other name has ever been spoken of, written about, sung about, or preached about than the name of Jesus. Many great men have been recognized for an accomplishment, but never has a man been remembered to the magnitude of Jesus Christ. Because we at Reesville Bible Chapel preach Jesus being born, lived, was crucified, buried, and on the third day resurrected to His Father's throne, new generations of people are coming to know Jesus Christ by faith, believing God's message, being a witness to the world that Jesus is the Son of God. The once blind man set forth a testimony that cost him a great deal. He was put out of the synagogue. His family would have shunned him. He could have been stoned to death for what he said, but it doesn't tell us if he was or wasn't. We assume not. I believe if we had the opportunity to ask this man and the things that he had to suffer through for Christ, was it worth it? I think his response, if we could talk to him today, his response would be yes, it was all worth it. He was under a great deal of pressure to renounce Jesus. He stood up and he spoke up. We should do the same each day in the way that we live, walk, and talk. In the book of James, and you all know I can't do a message without going to reference the book of James. We're going to be chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And here's the part. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Any of you that's ever been to the beach, and I know Ray and him just got back, and those waves, when they go out, they're never the same. They go in and they come out. They're always wavering and they're always changing. James says, don't be that way when it comes to Christ. Don't be a person who flips from one to the other. You come in and you're all religious here on Sunday morning in front of your church family, and then come Monday morning you head out to work and you fall in with the crowd that has no idea what Christ is about. They have foul language. They tell dirty jokes. They say things that just simply should not be heard. Don't be like that person. It says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In God's sight, if we do that, it makes us an unstable Christian. We can't be that way. We have to be solid with what we believe. And if we don't, the people that we associate with, when we are a witness for Christ, they're not going to believe us. He's just like all the rest of us. He's not different. He's just like all the rest. But we don't want that. We do not want to be thought of in that way. We want people to know that we stand for something that's important, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be a double-minded believer when you're with your church family or when you're at work. Be the man of God that you should be. Only God knows what can happen if we do that. You can influence someone just by, you don't have to say anything, just by your actions. You can affect what other people do and think. People who you come in contact with really would like to know why you are different. They want to know. They will not ask you some deep theological question. They won't do it. But they will ask you, they just want to know, why you are different. Are you prepared to tell them? Are you prepared to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? I do hope so, and I pray so, that each one of us that's sitting here in this room can look at ourselves in the mirror tonight when we go home and say, I am a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the best thing we can be. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the lessons that this blind man can teach us. How to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. How to understand who he is. May each one of us, as we go our way, make it a point, set our hearts, make it a goal that we can each one be the witness that Jesus Christ expects us to be. We thank you in his precious name. Amen.